Our first reading for this morning is Psalm 133. The theme is pretty obvious. It's all about unity. And we hear the word kindred, unity of kindred. And it doesn't mean the family ties, but it means kindred in God, unified in God. In our times of conflict and distress and violence, Psalm 133 is a passage we need to hear. People who are divided and estranged from one another need to hear God's call to live together in unity. But people who are enjoying blessing after blessing need to hear God's call in Psalm 133. This psalm offers hope and the promise of connection, and the message of this psalm should, I hope and pray, inspire and comfort us. God loves us abundantly and holds nothing back. And because of that, we're part of something extraordinary. And then in our second reading today, the Apostle Paul offers a poetic explanation of how we are called. He's actually speaking to the young church, how we are called to set our lives on God and to remember that despite our various gifts, we are part of one body and one community. Powerful words, simple lessons, ones that we need to hear again and again and again.
How very good and pleasant it is when kindred live together in unity. It is like the precious oil on the head running down upon the beard, on the beard of Aaron, running down over the collar of his robes. It is like the dew of Hermon, which falls on the mountains of Zion. For there the Lord ordained his blessing, life forevermore. So here's what I want you to do, God helping you. Take your everyday, ordinary life, your sleeping, eating, going to work, and walking around life, and place it before God as an offering. We are like the various parts of a human body. Each part gets its meaning from the body as a whole, not the other way around. The body we're talking about is Christ's body of chosen people. Each of us finds our meaning and function as a part of his body. Laugh with your happy friends when they're happy. Share tears when they're down. Get along with each other. Make friends with nobodies. Discover beauty in everyone. May God bless our understanding of these readings.
It was last Sunday afternoon, and I was in my office kind of having a woe is me moment, where I kind of was wishing that I didn't have a job where I had to work every weekend and so many nights so I can't put my boys to bed. And I was kind of just stuck there a little bit. And then I heard on my desk my phone vibrate. And so I dashed over to my desk, and in came from Allison Couture pictures of the First Church Outside Nature Group taking a hike. And you see, a couple hours earlier, I had been coming down after the prospective new member gathering, and I saw people in the driveway gathering for the hike, so I ran out with my phone, made them all pose for a picture, and was asked if I was going to go on the hike, and I said, no, I haven't had lunch yet, and I have other church meetings later in the day that I have to plan for, so no, I can't go on the hike. So there I am in my woe is me moment in my office. And this picture comes up, it's on the bulletin cover, of little Luke, 4 years old, and Bruce Munshauer, holding hands, hiking. I immediately wrote back to Allison, this makes my heart happy with a heart. And she responded, me too. Friends, that's what church is about. Where would little Luke and Bruce go for a hike? Church is about building relationships, coming together, about walking in God's magnificent creation, giving thanks for new relationships. That's what church is about. And in our culture, we can get so consumed with the me, 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 or I need to be better, and looking at our self-help books and going on our quick diets to make ourselves feel better. And we forget that we all need help, that we're part of this beloved community together. And in our culture, yeah, we want to achieve great things. And so we can be proud of ourselves for that. But we're all on this journey together. And it matters who we have along the way. Patrick and Justin were born just 36 hours apart from each other and have been lifelong friends for over 40 years. They have shared so much together, their childhood and their adult lives, having kids. They are the best of friends. But it was 20 years earlier that Justin started noticing weird sensations in his limbs. For 20 years, he's had a neuromuscular disease where he has been losing function in his arms and in his legs. Justin can do nothing alone. He needs help eating, going to the bathroom, getting dressed. He needs other people. He's in a wheelchair, and he can't function alone. In 2012, he heard about the Camino de Santiago. It's a religious hike through some of France and a lot of Spain. And often people do it, and thousands of people do it, to escape the hustle and bustle of their lives. So Justin heard about this walk and thought, I want to do that. So he immediately told his friend Patrick about this hike through mountains and lakes and rivers and across the Spanish desert. And Patrick's answer was simple and profound. I'll push you. It took 3 years to prepare, because to push someone 500 miles is a big deal. Justin and Patrick explain how they had what they considered a strong faith going into this experience, but that how their faith in humanity was what they say restored. And because they believe God created all of humanity, their faith in God was restored. Over 35 days, they hiked 500 miles. People helped for a few minutes, a few hours, a few days. You'll see some of the pictures on the bulletin cover. They couldn't have done it alone. Their faith in humanity was restored. And Patrick describes these moments of desperation where he wanted to give up. He didn't want to push his friend anymore, but they did it. And they did it because of the people surrounding them. They've since come back, and they do inspirational speeches, and they've done TED Talks, and they now have a book, and all telling these stories of their journey. One of their quotes is amazing. They're explaining how they have a group of friends that get together every Monday night to eat together, break bread together, share in the joys, and share in the sorrows together. We were never meant to live in solitude, they write. We were created to live in community with one another so we could know love and wouldn't have to navigate the struggles of life on our own. Together, each of our joys are multiplied and our pain is divided. We weren't meant to live in solitude. We were created for community. That's what the Bible tells us. That's what those passages that we heard today tell us. We are not meant to live in solitude, but we are meant for community. And we can see examples of that all over the place. So in this time when it just seems like there's tragedy after tragedy after tragedy, I look for stories of hope. So I found one about the Las Vegas shooting. His name is Jonathan Smith. He's also pictured on your bulletin cover. Shorts, no shirt, a big bandage on his neck. He's a copy repairman who drove from California to Las Vegas with his family to go to this amazing country music concert. The bullets started during the concert, and he thought there were fireworks off in the distance, and then he realized they weren't stopping, and eventually the music stopped. People were scared. He said it was like everyone just running, chaotic and scary. He looked for his nieces, 22, 18, and 17. He couldn't find them, and so he decided to help other people. He pushed down a safety fence that was put up for the concert, and they made a human chain of people, and they would push individuals along to get them to safety. And then out of the corner of his eye, he saw some girls who really were not down on the ground. He thought, I have to go for them. And as he was running towards those girls, he got shot in the neck. He said that an off-duty San Diego policeman saved his life, came immediately with a cloth, got him a ride to the hospital. And when Jonathan kept saying, I don't want to die yet, he kept saying, you're going to be okay. You're going to be okay. Broken collarbone, punctured lung, and a bullet in his neck that they haven't taken out yet because they fear it might do more damage. He was reunited with his family. And that picture that you see on the bulletin cover has gone viral. And everybody is saying that Jonathan is a hero. He said, I'm not a hero. I was just trying to take care of people. That's what my mama taught me to do. So whether it's holding hands and hiking through God's great creation, whether it's pushing your friend over mountains and through rivers, or whether it's keeping people safe, our faith tells us that we are to be in community, we are to be connected. And that life won't always be easy, and so we need each other. When the California fires were raging and it was all over the news, again, my gut instinct of finding hope in the midst of what seemed like just such great despair. So I read this newspaper article about a little kind of neighborhood, Fountain Grove, in Santa Rosa, California. And the article was about how to mourn is so hard, but to mourn together is just a little bit easier. They describe, the author of the article, how there used to be an inn and a Kmart in a high school and they were burned to the ground. It explained how a lot of people wanted to go and flee to family or friends in this great tragedy, but that some people wanted to stay either to see the damage or even if they knew that their house was gone. They wanted to stay and to see it. This article goes over lots of people and tells their stories. One of Bianca and her husband, who were sitting in an open field with totally burned out around them. And in their truck were three stuffed animals, some pillows, and a few pictures. Bianca says, I should be thankful that we got out okay, but I'm just really sad. That's all they have left from their house. And then across the street was Rudy Z, standing in a circle with some other people. Those were his neighbors. He said that Fountain Grove is a once-in-a-million neighborhood where everyone took care of each other and loved each other. They knew that all their houses were destroyed, yet they were there, explaining the saga of talking to the insurance companies, reliving memories, together. And when the reporter said, why are you all still here? He said, this is all I've got left, standing together. Rudy admits that they will probably never live with these people in the same neighborhood, but that they will be lifelong friends. Our faith is clear. Our call is somewhat obvious. We are to take care of each other. And the church tries to live that out. We aren't perfect by any stretch, but we try to live out that call. As we go from this place, friends, we are called to hold hands and to take notice of God's amazing creation. We are called to push each other. We are called to protect each other and to love each other and to share in one's sorrows together. That's what we are called to do, plain and simple, and it's a message we need to hear again and again. Amen.